Studios each and every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8. This week, no exception. I'm really happy to have Ali Chipkin here with us tonight. Take it away, and we'll come and chat after you play a few for us.
You don't have to see me tonight, babe, if it's gonna be out of your way. You thank me tomorrow, seems a little freer. Plus, we can kiss on any other day. Any other day. Go ahead and run away so you don't catch the pain. Only hurts you when you see, and I see you seeking out something. But isn't there something in me? And there is a place way, 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 a place that has hiking and people and things on artistic display. But when you say you wanna go, it kills me, cause I know you mean alone. Southern skies, more than you need me, I understand. But if you're pushing me away, in case I become part of your past someday, you're losing to yourself. That has hiking and people and things on artistic display. Thanks a lot. I'm Ali Chipkin. That was an original called Play. This next one is another original called Reckless.
Thank you.
hands. Don't let them squeeze you into tighter, neater plans. Rage like the fire under storms of gasoline. Death to the liar who says ladies should be sweet. Stay out of the lines and get into the way. I dare you to move like your body won't break. Thank you. times in their shoes, he could lay right. Iron and steel, doesn't it feel cold to call all aboard? Dozens of days, there were dozens of days, there were dozens of days he could have turned the train around for love. Ally
Chipkin here with us on the Cabaret this evening. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I guess where to start? Can you tell us about those tunes you just played in the first set?
Yeah, for sure. The first one is called Play, and that is off of my first album, Honey and Knives. What to say about that? Actually, it's about an old relationship, someone who moved away, and... it's funny, the song started out being about Boulder. There's the line says, "There is a place way, 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 place that has hiking and people
yeah,
and things."
I had
on
that
artistic,
thought, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Artistic yeah. display, that was Boulder. Because originally the thought was coming out here, and then it kind of changed to someplace in the South. So and that's the part, and if you need Southern skies more than you need me. So it's funny how one song can be simultaneously about two places. And then I ended up moving to Boulder, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, Reckless, that is really about just being a messy woman and embracing that and being, you know, unapologetic in that, not letting anyone really box you in and, you know, allowing your pretty voice to scream sometimes. So that's kind of the deal with Reckless, the message I was trying to get out there. And this last one, Conductor, it's called, this is on my upcoming album to be released in 2017. This one's pretty cool because I was on a train and I saw these two like young college kids, like the girl was standing outside, the kid was on the train, and they were just like sobbing, looking at each other like, "I'll see you again." And he was hitting his shirt pocket, and she looked inside hers and there was a note, and she started crying more. And I ended up talking to the kid on the train ride, and he was telling me about their relationship, and I was thinking about how train conductors have a hard job, like pulling people apart sometimes, and they can't really wait for anyone, you know, and they got to be right on time, and you know, sometimes they have to kick homeless people off the train and do things that probably don't feel too good for their heart. So that's what Conductor's about.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. And I think you mentioned the Hudson Valley in that song as well. And that's where you're from originally?
Yeah, totally. I'm from Poughkeepsie, New York in the Hudson Valley, Catskill Mountains. And yeah, man, I love it there. It's a lot of fun. And that song was written based on the experience I had in the Metro North, going from Poughkeepsie down to Grand Central Station in the city. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And then, so that your first album that came out in 2004.
2014.
Actually. I'm 10 years behind.
I wish, so, man. Yeah. I would have many more.
2014, a few years back.
Yeah.
You mentioned, I guess in your bio, it mentions that came out of like your project for your English degree.
Yeah. So I started college at the Boston Conservatory, where I was studying music and theater. But I was mostly just singing other people's music, and I was trying to do the whole Broadway thing. And after I left there, I was really like, you know, I think I want a broader education. I think I want to study writing and study Spanish and study abroad and these things. So yeah, I became an English major thinking, hey, now I'm just going to focus on English. Like, you know, I'm over this music thing. And through my poetry classes and, like, you know, just awesome encouragement by my teachers, the professors there, I started being like, hey, maybe I could actually write my own music. Let me pick up the guitar, see what I can do. And yeah, it ended up, they allowed me to do my capstone project in songwriting there at Skidmore. And that was my album. My album was my senior capstone project. So yeah.
I'm thinking of like other groups that I've heard of who've done like kind of their first albums come out of some,
yeah.
Belle and Sebastian, I think their first one was a college
rad.
Project. But
cool.
No, you could probably do an entire show on that. That'd be a fun. I'll file that away for a music show sometime.
Oh, totally.
It came out of projects.
That's cool.
So what's the music scene like in Boston if you're a student there?
Yeah, I mean, so honestly, before I left Boston, I wasn't really involved in like the songwriter scene there, but because I was really just doing kind of musicals at my school and auditioning for regional theaters outside of Boston. But I did like collaborate with a couple musicians from Berklee College of Music, and because that school is just massive and it's filled with, which actually my school has merged with them now, so it's even bigger. It's massive, and just a massive amount of talent comes out of that school, and people kind of stick around because, you know, they've built relationships through college there. Mm-hmm. So there's a really cool like Americana scene, a really cool funk scene, some awesome songwriters around there. So since moving away from Boston, I've gone back to play at Club Passim a couple times. It's one of my favorite venues in Cambridge. And there's a lot going on, and it's a little cozier than New York City, so
yeah,
I like playing there.
Yeah, it's funny. I've met, you know, some people, I've had some friends who've gone to Berklee, and they all kind of drop out after a year or two, because they're like, oh,
yeah.
I've met all these great people to play with. I don't need to finish. I'm here. You know,
totally.
I've accomplished why I came here, and I have this great community
of
musicians to play with.
John Mayer, prime example.
John Mayer.
Yeah. For sure.
So that's great. So maybe we'll hear just a couple more songs, and we'll talk more about what brought you to Boulder and your record and things like that during
the
next break.
Sounds great.
Allie Chipkin here with us on the Cabaret this evening.
All right. This one's called Lovesick. It's on the upcoming EP.
We all have the blues. We all hate the things we choose. And we're all fighting for our lives with sweaty hands and flimsy knives. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. Oh, but I can't get enough. They fail. forgetting that our failure's part of life. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. Oh, but I can't get enough. Nobody led me here but me. Why must I want what makes me weak? The thing that I love is making me ache. I want you to stop. I need you to stay. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. I'm sick with your love. Oh, but I can't get enough. Enough. Enough.
Awesome. This next one is called Buena Vista, actually. It's one I wrote here in Colorado. Co-wrote, excuse me, Tom Garrison and I co-wrote this song, Buena Vista.
Vista, dear Hammer Whiskey with you. Log cabin fires filling the sky with you. Let's go back to Buena Vista. Long drives to nowhere, no expectations, just destinations with you. The White Cap Mountains and Boulder. Each night, but let's go back to Buena Vista. Let's go back to Buena Vista. With you, it's always Buena Vista. Thank you.
say it once so I can hear it. Say it twice and then I'll know. Say it louder so I feel it. And again before you go. Sure, it buzzes in your kisses, and I taste it on your skin. But the words, they make it different. Both my heart and pride cave in. We're swinging swift on delicate vines, and I'm scared of you, but they tell me that's all right. With your words, I'll be fine. So you swing a little closer, so you can sing it in my ear. I've been waiting so long now for a thing like this to fear. We're tracing tracks on unintelligible lines, and I see you're scared, but love is worth your fright. Let our love make words tonight. It's palpable that you love me, but I need to feel it shake the air. It's gotta be there when you breathe, and I need you to scream to the skies that you love your girl more than silence could describe.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Cabaret Show, and with us tonight, Allie Chipkin, current Boulder resident. What prompted your move from upstate New York to Boulder, Colorado?
Well, my brother and I, one of my brothers and I, came out to visit Boulder after we both had graduated from college, and you know, we just heard magical things, and we're like, yeah, I'm sure it's great. Let's go check it out. So we came out here for a Red Rocks concert to see Brandi Carlile and Gregory Alan Isakoff, mm-hmm. who I didn't know much of Gregory except that he was from this area. And we saw them, and it was like the best night ever. It was just, Red Rocks is incredible, obviously. And they were just both, I was in tears for both of them. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, not only that, we just, you know, we had this plan to go all around Colorado. We'd spent a couple days in Vail and, you know, a day in Denver, but we pretty much threw away all of our plans after the first day we went to Boulder. And we, every morning we would just look at each other and be like, you want to just go back to Boulder? Like, it's so cool there. So, yeah, we loved it. And I was sort of in this transitional time after college where I was living at home and, you know, able to do a lot of travel, but, after I visited, I just kind of felt like, I'm going to find my band in Boulder. So I felt like I don't know, I just felt drawn to move here. And I love the mountains. And yeah. So.
And how long has that been?
I moved here in April, this past okay. April. So yeah, a little bit now.
Yeah. So what's it been like kind of plugging into the local songwriter and performer scene?
Man, it's been really cool. It's been, there are so many incredible songwriters around here. And everyone's so inclusive and, like, you know, just wants to meet up and collaborate or share songs. There's a really awesome, like songwriting meetup that I go to, the Boulder in the Round workshop that happens based on the show Boulder in the Round, which is like a showcase of four awesome songwriters at the Vapor Distillery. So yeah, I've been going to that and meeting a lot of people through that, and played a couple shows at the Laughing Goat. And honestly, everyone, you know, musician or not, everyone in Boulder is so friendly.
Yeah.
That it's just like, I remember the first week that I got here, I went to Wonder, that smoothie shop, and I was talking to this dude and his girlfriend, and they were like, oh, you just moved here, cool. Oh, you're a musician? Why don't you come over tonight and jam with us? And I was like,
come over,
really?
Yeah.
You don't know me. But yeah, it's been that incredibly inclusive since I've gotten here. So I'm having a lot of fun so far. And I just feel like there are as many incredible people as I've already met. It seems like there are tenfold more to meet. So,
yeah, we had Hunter Stone was here a few weeks ago.
Oh,
and we've
yeah.
had Teresa Peterson's been here.
Totally, yeah.
As
yeah.
well, speaking of the people who helped
right.
organize that thing.
And, yeah. Totally.
And many others. And I think, you know, Gregory Alan Isaacoff has probably sat right about where you are.
Rad.
He's been here
oh,
a few times as well. So
that feels good.
It's cool.
Awesome.
It's a really neat scene. And it's kind of, it's,
yeah.
I mean, I think that experience, a lot of the local, you know, songwriters in here
yeah.
kind of, I guess, say the same things that you're saying.
Yeah.
Right now, kind of how collaborative and supportive
oh, it's
that
so
group
cool.
is. And it's pretty amazing to hear that from the musicians themselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's something I've, you know, there are definitely supportive musicians in the Hudson Valley and in New York
yeah.
City and a lot of great musician friends, but there's something different about it here. It's really, it just feels like a warm embrace. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty cool, yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask about, yes, back to Boston. I was going to ask
yeah.
you, too. There's a YouTube video of you singing the national anthem at Fenway.
Yeah.
how does that feel,
oh,
I guess?
Oh, man.
I mean, I can imagine the random series of events that got you there, but like,
yeah.
how does it feel when you finish the song out in the entire...
Oh, that was like the coolest. And this was the night before Red Rocks, too. I delayed
oh, wow.
my flight to Boulder to do that, and then I flew right out to Red Rocks. So that was like the best 2 days of my life. But yeah, God, yeah, there's so much echo in the microphone there that when you stop singing, you actually still hear yourself. So that's pretty weird. But, oh, it was just so cool. My whole family, they're all Red Sox fans. They all got to be on the field with me. It's my youngest brother's dream to be, you know, a Red Sox player. So he was standing there, you know, having a ball. And it was just so cool to share that with them, you know, to have my family down there with me and to hear myself singing for 30,000 people, whether they came to see me or not. It was just pretty awesome. And I ran up into the stands after, you know, I had a seat and everyone was like high-fiving me
nice.
And they're like, dude, you're awesome. I was like, how did you know that was me? I never pay attention to who sings. So it was pretty euphoric
yeah.
and really cool.
Do
yeah.
you get to rehearse on the field or do they say, here's the mic, go, you're on?
Yeah. Thankfully I've sung with like really intense echoes like that before,
okay.
but,
yeah.
I think for anyone who hasn't, the rehearsal is pretty important. They have like, I think it was an evening game that I sang at, and I had like a 10 o'clock mic check, so it was entirely empty, and the echo's even more intense when there's nobody sitting
right,
in the stands.
Right.
So I've never heard my voice broadcast that loud. That was like the coolest thing ever, yeah. And I used to live like 2 blocks from Fenway, so I probably... like could have heard myself if I was living, you know, in that same apartment. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, so your approach to songwriting, I mean, it seems like events and kind of personal interactions, do,
mm-hmm.
do those form a basis
for
what you write?
For sure. Yeah. I'm always looking for kind of like new approaches and new ways to spark my creativity, I guess. A really helpful thing from that workshop, the Boulder in the Round workshop, was we had to write a murder ballad. And I don't know if you know this, I've actually never murdered someone. So that
so
was obviously,
say.
Yeah, that's what they tell me I have to say on air. But yeah, so that's like one of those things I've had prompts like that before where I'm like, this could never be me. How do I write about this? You know? And that's where the sort of English major fictional mind comes in. And I find that really fun. But most of my songs so far have definitely come from either a really strong emotional feeling that I'm having, or yeah, like a specific event, or like if someone says a phrase to me and I'm like, ooh, that sticks with me, that rings, like then I try to build around it. And I generally just take like a piece of paper, and it's so scribbly and messy by the end with like associations and just different words that, you know, the conductor song, it's like train, tracks, on time, steam, conductor, like all these words just like all over the place until it kind of like, I see something in there and I'm like, oh yeah, that's how I can string it together, you know, so.
So when you're an English major, you're more on the creative writing side, not the critical lit theory of.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had to do some of that. Yeah. And once in a while, I enjoy like the academic writing, but definitely where I get excited is in like poetry classes and stuff like that. And I do write some poetry that I will not put to music too. That just feels different, you know, too. So that's cool.
Great. We have Ali Chipkin with us here on the Cabaret this evening. Got a few more songs?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Great.
This one I finished in Boulder also. This is called Recipe.
Whisk and I am foam. Let's cook up a home. Say, how many eggs does it take not to feel so alone? Man, I used to know. Flipping through the recipe books, it all looks so appetizing, but darling, we're out of salt. And nobody greased the pan. And all our latest have turned out so bland. Could you cut the onions? I know you hate that part. But I refuse to cry before we start. Fine, just go get a bowl and crack my heart. Flipping through the recipe books, it all looks so appetizing. But darling, we're out of flour. And nobody lit the stove. Plus, we don't get to things until they've gotten cold. Time after time. Why can't we learn? Cooking can warm or burn. Flipping through the recipe books, it all looks so appetizing. But darling, I don't feel well, I better go lie in bed. It hurts to stomach all the thoughts here in my head. And yes, that means you get the last damn piece of bread.
All right. This next one is, this is the title track off my first album, Honey and Knives. Picturing me in bed, and that's how I know you haven't heard a single word that I've sang or that I've said. But the truth is, if you ever got inside, you'd see a lot more dark than light, and that's fine. By me, that's fine. It just feels good to say that I'll surprise. You can't separate me from my beautiful eyes or exterior guys, but baby, down inside, I'm honey and knives, honey and knives. The cutting edge of her mind slips from her tongue all gooey-like, and she sings with a voice so sweet you'd like to lick. But unfortunately, voices can only be swallowed by those who own them. So that's fine. You can't separate me from my beautiful eyes or my lame type of disguise. But baby, I taste like honey and in the wounds. Can you imagine something sweeter? What could be 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 sweeter? Sweeter, yeah. Sweeter, 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 sweeter. Sweet. cool. This next one is, it's called Doubt. It's a little more mellow or sweet, literally. After the day, after the night, after the whole damn thing went awry, you said you wouldn't leave anymore, but that old promise feels like silence in your violent storm, and is it that you love so dearly about doubt? After the day I watched you put the thing in park, and after the night you told me I looked prettiest in the dark, something went strange. Oh, I can always feel you change. You said
Allie Chipkin here with us on the Cabaret Show this evening. I'm trying to think how to break this. Okay, so from what have you brought with you from like a musical theater background into a singer-songwriter?
Well, definitely. Realm. Yeah, a big thing that I notice is just kind of like vocal pedagogy. Like having taken voice lessons for so long growing up, like I feel really equipped to like taking care of my voice. Like if I feel myself getting tired or I feel myself wearing myself out, I know the kind of like exercises and I guess like vocal therapy sort of things to, you know, that I can do to rejuvenate myself and protect myself and be safe when singing. Also, well, a lot of people, when they hear me sing or hear the way that I write, they're like, did you used to do musical theater? And I'm like, what? How did you know? So there must be, you know, something in there, you know, in terms of maybe storytelling or I guess musical theater has a lot of narrative songs because most of the time the characters are speaking from their perspective. So yeah, I don't know. I may have picked up certain like stylistic things from theater and,
because I was thinking about kind of just the aspects of like, you know, you're being in a performance,
yeah,
but also, you know, performing your own music. So there's that, I don't know, separation between the performer,
yeah,
and the piece that you're performing.
Well, what's super interesting is I wrote my first album, Honey and Knives, in a really, like emotional state, you know, and I really just kind of expressed exactly how I was feeling in my songs. And now it's been 2 years and I'm very removed from those emotions, but I still perform those songs. So it's like, it's a really funny thing, like you're talking about. It's like, it's almost like you're inhabiting this character or this
right.
past self, you know? And it's super interesting. I'll play a song that, you know, while I wrote it, I was maybe crying or like, you know, super emotional. And now I love to play it. It's like taken on a totally new life. Yeah. But I, you know, you can still kind of get back there to those emotions sometimes when you're playing it. But definitely, yeah, the whole like storytelling and like, what you're saying and what you're communicating is more important than like how you sound. That's a big thing in musical theater too. It's like trying to let go of the polishedness of things and like actually communicate with like your audience. And yeah, so that's something I'm still working on and strive for, you know, each time I perform, but definitely a lesson I've taken from theater for sure.
Neat. So your last album, Honey and Knives, so you have a new one, you're working on a new EP.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, totally.
Tell us about that.
Right. It is so far nameless, but it's going to be great. It's four songs, a couple that I've played for you already, Lovesick, Conductor, those two are on there, and Reckless, actually. But yeah, it's going to be a four-song EP. It should release in March of 2017, and I think it's going to be really different than my last album. A lot of variation, a lot of like experiment in different styles. And every song has like a really full sound. We got a lot of instruments on them. And I recorded it in Boston. Actually, I went back in July and met with my producer and we recorded at this place called The Record Company down in Boston. And it was super fun. Just like camped out in the studio for 2 days and, got it all down. So yeah, now it's just a matter of like mixing and mastering and getting it out there. So,
and you're doing a Kickstarter to,
yeah, I'm super stoked about that. Yeah. My first album, I had basically the support of this entire community at Skidmore. It was like, I got a grant to get the thing made up and I was using the Skidmore studio. So it didn't really occur to me how much, it costs to record music. So yeah, I'm developing this Kickstarter to like allow friends, family, and fans to like share in the process of creating this with me. And that should launch next week. If you go to www.alliechipkin.com, that has like a link to my mailing list and you can sign up and I'll send you all the info if you're looking forward to hearing the new EP. So lots of t-shirts and cool prizes involved too.
T-shirts,
yeah.
House concerts.
Super cool stuff. Like I'm a yoga teacher too, so I'm doing this like one reward where I send you like a guided meditation that I've recorded, and or I'll come to your house and teach you a yoga class or something. So it's, it should be cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, I've been seeing, I don't know if I've been seeing, you know, more, you know, some people are doing, you know, more kind of the EP type model of releases. And it seems like that for an artist, it seems like a much more kind of tangible thing to get done. You can do, you know, 4 or 5 songs and not stress about, you know, recording 10 and the cost of recording 10.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I felt, you know, there's a song on my last record that's about 7 songs. And, you know, I was like, well, I don't know. I'd like to have more, so I'll throw it on there. But like, I didn't, you know, it's not like just all the songs that I love, you know, and I wish I had done that. I wish I just chosen the ones that I was like truly passionate about and love, because honestly, in this day and age, the attention span of myself and my entire, you know, generation is not too long. Like, yeah, it's really hard to like sit through a whole album sometimes for people, or, you know, especially if you don't know the artist. It's like you turn it on for 30 seconds, you decide, I don't like this, or okay, cool, yeah, let me listen further. But yeah, I just decided that it's not worth all the resources all at once to do that when, you know, a lot of times people aren't listening all the way through. So,
And I think, and then platforms like Bandcamp and SoundCloud, you know, are great for that as well. Because if you see 4 songs, I mean, I'd probably be more inclined to listen to all 4 of them. Unless I see 13.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right, and I even noticed on Bandcamp with Honey and Knives, it's like, you see the first song, I put my last song, my best song last. And I was like, I want it to end the album. And you see like 900 plays on the first song, 700 on the second, 200 on the third, 14 on the, it's like down to like nothing to the last song. So it's pretty funny to see. Yeah, but definitely informative. It was good learning. Yeah.
Shows, do you have any shows coming up in and around?
I'm leaving town for a little bit, and honestly, I've just been putting a lot of energy into this Kickstarter. So I'm hoping, I actually have a show at, on December 3rd for the opening of, a new coffee shop in Arvada. The name is escaping me right now, but, there's a new coffee shop opening in Arvada, and I'll be playing, for their opening.
And they have live music. That's a good thing.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be cool. So that's, you know, that'll be after Thanksgiving, and possibly that down at the Twisted Pine, they have a open mic contest that
Tuesday nights, I think, you know, Jim.
I know. Jim runs that. Jim's right great now. Yeah, I went there a couple weeks ago, and he was like, maybe we'll get in touch. So possibly once that little contest is over, that's a possibility too. December 2nd. So but mostly I'm just getting really psyched on the second album, and kind of marketing for that, so the Kickstarter.
Great. Allie Chipkin here on the Cabaret with us. Allie Chipkin, AlLieChipkin.com.
Perfect.
You're on Facebook and the internets and all that stuff. I think we got about 4 minutes left. Want to play us out with one more?
Yeah, that would be great.
And thanks again for being with us this evening. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much. This is quite a treat. I appreciate it. This is one I wrote just the other day at a creativity retreat up in Lyons. And it's pretty relevant for me, at least. It's called Falling Together. I had to get to the top of the land, and I had to take a picture. If I didn't lose my breath, what did I gain? Why am I up here and what do I see? Inanimates keep on knocking at me. The silent song of the breeze won't leave me alone. And everything's heavy and hugging the earth. The melting of icicles, slouching of trees under snow. We're all letting go and falling together, closer to our soil, until there are no spaces. The falling isn't spoiled. Falling together to sever our divides. We have to fall to unify. Built a wall here by stacking the stones. It keeps the animals out, protecting our homes. I like the privacy, he likes it too. But deep down under the wall, we both know the land runs through. We're falling together, closer to our soil, until there are no spaces. The falling isn't spoiled. Falling together to sever our divides. Sometimes you fall to unify.
You are now tuned into KGNU's Corriente. The time right now is 8:01. You're tuned into KGNU Boulder, 88.5 FM, KGNU Denver, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland, online at kgnu.org. My name is Danielle, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours, playing Latin American music from all around the world. You are listening to KGNU's Corriente.
Thank you.